Well, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's pray and we'll get into our lesson this evening. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this portion of Scripture. Help us, dear God, to understand it. Help us, dear God, to increase our faith. And I pray that we as a church would grow spiritually as well as numerically. Help us, dear God, to follow the pattern that you give for us here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we are going to title this Order in the Church. Now, in this chapter, Paul instructs Timothy on how to minister to specific groups in the church. Notice the older members. It says, rebuke not an old elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Now, Paul is admonishing Timothy to minister to the various kinds of people in the church. He's not supposed to show partiality to anybody. Notice what it says in verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, since Timothy was a younger man, he might be tempted to ignore the older people. So Paul urges him to love all kinds of people, no matter what their age is. The church is to be a family. We are to treat older members like your mother and father. And you're also supposed to treat the younger members like brothers and sisters. We are a family, like it or not. You know, I think sometimes you go to a church, and you know what happens? The young people go here, the old people go there, and all these different groups are divided up and never do the twain meet. And I think we're robbing the younger people of elderly wisdom, and younger people need to be around older people, and we all need to get along, we all need to be together. That's what family does. Sure, we got weird uncles, sure, we got crazy aunts, but you know what? We're family, amen? We are to treat one another kindly. Then notice the older widows. Notice what it says in verse 3 through 10. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if a widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into thy number under 80. Now, what's a score? 20. 80 would be what? Yeah, okay, you guys must have been homeschooled. All right, 80, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, or relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Now, from the beginning of its ministry, the church had a concern for believing widows. And that's what you find out throughout the Old Testament. You find it throughout the Bible. And you say, why is that? Because God had an interest in widows and taking care of them. And the church also should have the same kind of concern. Now, of course, the nation of Israel had sought to care for widows. And God even gave special legislations to protect them. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 17. Now, here we read this that Moses penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 24, verse 17 of the book of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment, what? To pledge. Now, God's special care for widows is a recurring theme throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament. It was only right that the local church show compassion to these women who were in need. However, the church must be careful not to waste its resources on people who really are not in need. Whether we like to admit it or not, there are individuals and even entire families that do nothing but milk local churches while they themselves refuse to work or to use their own resources wisely. It's like someone said, why spend your money when you can get it from the church? As long as you can get handouts, why bother to work? I'll never forget somebody had a son that was living with them, and they were like 24, 25. And he came up and he asked me one day, he says, you know what? He says, I don't understand why my son doesn't get a job. Now, he'd been out of work for a few years. And I said, you don't understand why he doesn't get some work. He says, no. I said, well, why should he? He says, what do you mean? I said, I'll tell you what I mean. I said, you give him a place to live. I said, you pay his cell phone bill. You let him drive your car. You put gas in the tank. You clothe the guy. You feed the guy. I said, and you know what else? I said, you even give him money to spend. I said, pray tell me, why does he need to work? It's an amazing thing. He was able-bodied, and there's a lot of able-bodied people who are not willing to work. And by the way, they shouldn't be helped. If a man does not work, neither should he what? Now, Paul lists the qualifications of a widow, and she must meet these qualifications as she is supposed to be supported by the church. First of all, she must be without human support. Notice what it says in verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and what? Desolate. Now, if a widow had relatives, they are supposed to take care of her so that the church might use its money to care for others who have no help. If her own children were dead, then her next of kin should accept the responsibility. When you recall the society of that day did not have the kind of institutions that we have today, such as pensions, Social Security, retirement homes, you can see how important family care really was. Of course, the presence of such institutions today does not relieve any family of its loving obligations to their parents or to those in need. Honor thy father and thy mother is still in force and it's still in the Bible. Well, suppose a relative's unwilling to help support his loved one. Well, the Bible says they're worse than an infidel. You say, preacher, what's an infidel? An infidel is one that's in for hell. Then the widow must be a believer with a faithful testimony. Notice what it says in verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, what? Trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Now the church could not care for all the widows in the city. But you know what? They should care for believers who are part of the fellowship. We should do good unto all, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A widow the church helps should not be a self-indulgent person seeking pleasure, but a godly woman who hopes in God and is a ministry of intercession and prayer. Paul made it clear that the church helped widows, but those widows must be blameless and above reproach. Then the widow must be at least 60 years old. Notice what it says in verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under what? 80 years old. Now, a woman at that age most of the time is not likely to get remarried. Not in that day anyways. And I know 60 isn't considered old today. It's the new teens. No, it's not. You turn 60, you know it. And don't try to fool anybody else. But it's not considered old today, but back then it was considered quite elderly. Now, perhaps the verb taken in the number gives us a clue. It literally means to be enrolled and put on the list. Now, the word was used for the enrollment of soldiers. Now, the early church had an official list of names of qualified widows, and we get the impression that these enlisted women ministered to the congregation in various ways. Then they were to have a good marriage record. Notice what it says in verse 9. Let not a widow be taken under their number, under 80 years old, having been the wife of what? One man. Now the implication is that this widow is not a divorced woman. You know, some women think they're widows because they've been divorced. Their ex-husband's still alive. That's not a widow. You say, how do you come across with that? Well, my sister has a widow ministry in her church. And she had a woman there that was divorced, her husband's still alive, and she considered herself a widow. She called me up and said, John, what is a widow? I said, one who has lost her husband. He's dead. She says, I'm so glad you told me that. And she had to politely tell that lady, this is a widow's ministry. It's not a divorced women's ministry. Faithfulness to one's marriage vows is important in the eyes of God. Then the widow must have a witness of good works. Look at verse 10. Well reported of for what? Good works. Now, if a person is faithfully serving God, their light will shine and others will see it and they'll glorify God. Then it goes on to say, notice what it says, if she hath brought up children. Now that can refer either to her own children or to orphans that needed a home. If it refers to her own children, then they would have died. Otherwise, the church would not need to support her. Here's the thing. How many here realize your parents took care of you when you couldn't take care of them, take care of yourself? They fed you, they clothed you, they took care of you, amen? And you know what? We owe them a debt. And if your parents happen to be, what, in need, you know what? You need to meet that need. They took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself, and we ought to do all we can to take care of them when they have a need and they need help. I remember when Connie was going down quite a bit to take care of her mom. I remember I was down there one time and helping out, doing stuff around the house to ease the burden off my brother-in-law. I remember their pastor came by and he says, you know, I think it's remarkable that you guys come down here and take care of Connie's mom and help Mike out. And I said, that's what families do. I said, that's what godly families do. You know, it's a sad thing. You go to nursing homes, a lot of those folks can take care of themselves. But their families don't want anything to do with them, and they shove them off in that place and never visit them. What a horrible thing. We need to take care of our parents. We need to take care of those who took care of us. We owe them that debt. Then it goes on to say, it goes on that talks about her good works, and hospitality would be another factor in this widow. That was an important ministry in those days when traveling was dangerous and places to safely sleep were scarce. Now, when it talks about the washing of the feet there, notice what it says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the what? Saints' feet. Now, that's not talking about some third ordinance. You know, I know there's a group of out there that believe foot washing is another ordinance of the church. That is not true. But it is talking about that this woman was, it was a custom in that day when you had guests coming in your home that you would wash their feet. She was not above doing that. Now, that was a servant's job, but she was willing to do that. Maybe she would feed the hungry, care for the sick, encourage the sorrowing. Every pastor gives thanks for godly women who minister to material and physical needs in the church. These widows were cared for by the church, but in turn, these widows indeed helped care for the church. Then we see the younger widows. Notice what it says, verse 11 through 16. But the younger widows, what? He said, man, that's harsh. Well, whose word is this? It's God's word. He's saying refuse them. Don't put them on the roll. Church isn't obligated to take care of them. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will what? Marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are what? Widows indeed. Now, the younger widows would technically be under the age of 60. But no doubt Paul had much younger women in mind when he wrote this. It's not likely that a 59-year-old woman would bear children if she remarried, unless she was named Sarah. Now, the dangers of travels, the ravages of disease, war, and a host of other things could rob a young wife of her husband. But Paul forbade Timothy to enroll the younger women and put them under the care of the church. Then notice the reasons for refusing them. We find that in verse 11 through 14. But the younger widows refused, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, because of their age, younger widows were naturally attracted to men, and they would want to marry again. Now, is that such a bad thing? Not at all. But Paul seems to imply in verse 12 that each of these widows enrolled pledged herself to remain a widow and serve in the local church. Now, if that were the case, when they got married, they would break that pledge. Paul does make it clear that younger women, widows, if cared for by the church, would have time on their hands and get involved in sinful activities. They would be in the habit of being idle instead of being useful. They would get on Facebook and other social media sites, spreading all kinds of gossip and all kinds of tales. They would get on those cell phones, and they'd be yakking and talking to everybody else, things that they ought not to say. That's what they do today. But back then, they went house to house. Now, there's a definite connection between idleness and sin. Paul warned Timothy against using the ministry of the church to encourage people to be idle. We are to work. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. The church certainly ought to assist those who need help, but we must not subsidize sin. Then notice requirements for younger widows. Look at verse 14 through 16. I will therefore that the younger women, what? Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are what? Widows indeed. From the negative, Paul listed the positive things he wanted younger women or younger widows to do, to be accepted and proved in the church. He wanted younger widows to marry. He wanted them to have families. While not every person is supposed to get married, marriage is a natural thing for most people who have been married before. Why remain in lonely widowhood if there's an opportunity to have a husband and have a family? Of course, this all must be done, what? In the Lord. Be fruitful and multiply was God's mandate to our first parents, Adam and Eve. So the normal result of marriage ought to be a what? Family. Those today who refuse to have children because of the awfulness of the times should actually see how difficult times were in Paul's day. You know, if Christians do not have children and they do not raise them to live for God, then pray tell me who will do so. They were to guide the house. That means the wife should manage the affairs of the household and her husband should trust her to do so. Now, the result of all this is a good testimony that silences the accuser. Now, Satan is the adversary. He's always on the alert to an opportunity to invade and destroy a Christian home. The word occasion is a military term. It means a base of operations. And a Christian wife who's not doing her job at home gives Satan a beachhead for his operations, and the results are tragic. How Christian wives and mothers manage their homes can be a testimony to those outside the church. Did you hear that? You know, when I was growing up, I grew up Catholic. And all my friends were Catholic. Maybe a Lutheran or two. But I tell you what, you know what? We went into those houses, and everyone's house was clean. You know, then I became a Baptist. And I was shocked how filthy some of the homes were that I went in. I said, man, the heathen clean their house better than the Baptist women do. What are they doing all day? It's a crying shame. It's a reproach. I'm not saying everything's got to be spotless, but good night. It's awful the way some God's people live. We ought to have a good reputation. Mothers and wives ought to. They ought to be feeling free to have people come over. And you know what? They can say what when they leave, they say, man, you know what? They got their house in order. Instead of going, man, what a pigsty. Wives are to have a good witness, much as a pastor's to have a good reputation with outsiders. Now, you can't pastor, but you know what? You can minister for the Lord right there in your home. Paul then summarized the principle of each family caring for the verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are what? Widows indeed. How does this principle apply to us today? Well, certainly we ought to honor our parents and our grandparents. We ought to seek to provide for them if they have needs. You know, one of the things my dad said prior to his death was, none of you children should have any regrets because you took good care of me. And we had people after people talking about how our family took care of my father for a year. He was never left alone, never spent a night alone in his home. He wanted to stay in his home. He wanted to die in his home. And we made sure that his last wishes were granted. Every one of us, all six of us, would take time and take turns going down there to take care of my father. Here's the thing. He also let us know, if you put me in a rest home, I'll die. I'll die. So I believe his life was prolonged. And some of us got to know him better in the last year than we ever knew about him the rest of our life. We need to honor our parents and grandparents. We need to seek to provide for them when they have needs. You know, when my parents were alive and I'd have extra money, you can ask Connie, I would send it to them. And I remember one time I sent my mom quite a large sum of money, and she called me up and she was crying. She said, John, why'd you do that? I said, because I love you. I just want to be a blessing to you. She said, man, we sure did need it. Didn't hurt me none. I could afford it. You say, well, can't you use that money for something else? I sure probably could have. But it's all about honoring. All about taking care of those who took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. It's an amazing thing. We have counted it a privilege to take care of our elderly parents. Not once did we ever gripe and complain. Not once did I ever tell Connie, no, you're staying here. You're not going down to take care of your mom. She said, well, Mike called and said they need some help. I said, then you what? Go. You go. I said, you need to take care of your family. Folks, whatever happened to that? When I was growing up, that was normal. Christians' families are to take care of other members of their family. Not every widow, however, wants to live with her children. I know that was a wish of my parents. They didn't want to live with us, but I always offered it to them, and I offered it to Connie's mom as well. I said, you can live with us. We'll take care of you. And my parents said, we don't want to be a burden. I said, Mom, you're not a burden. We'll take care of you. And we never had that opportunity, but we always wanted to. And we wanted to do the same with Connie's mom. You know, where there's sickness, handicap, sometimes professional care is necessary. You can't maybe handle all that. Then I understand they need to get other care. But if you can take care of them as long as you can, then you should. The important thing is that believers show love and concern and do all they can to help their family. All right.